Coming up in this podcast, Rod Jones, Ferrell Brewing, State Finances, Tronox and WA Exporters.
Welcome to Mark My Words, the weekly podcast from Business News with Mark Pownall and Mark Beyer discussing the important business news and data stories from Western Australia.
Welcome to our weekly podcast. Leading WA entrepreneur Rod Jones is stepping down as the executive head of education group Navitas. That's a big changing of the guard, Mark.
It certainly is, and a end of an era for what has been, or still is, an extremely successful Western Australian business story. So Rod set up Navitas, originally known as IBT Education, 23 years ago. Mm. I remember I met him out at Edith Cowan University many years ago. So Rod came out of that background and he'd seen a big gap in the market. He'd seen a lot of international students who came to places like Perth and who couldn't adjust to the way things happened here. So he pioneered this idea of pathway programs for international students. And that's been the core product that Navitas now takes around the world. Yeah. They've got operations all over the globe, an extraordinarily successful business, classic story of innovation, now a top 10 listed company in Western Australia, and a great story. So David Buckingham, he'd previously been at iiNet. He'd had a stint as chief executive there, joined Navitas as CFO, and has now been announced as the successor to Rod. And one of those interesting transition processes, they'll be together there for a few months. Rod will then take a break, step right away from the business for a number of months to allow David to settle in, and then Rod will come back as a non-executive director with Tracy Horton as chair. So, a really strong board they've got, and a very smooth transition. So augurs well for continued success at a very good business.
Yeah, look, I think that would give investors some comfort that that succession process is organised in that way, and that they know that Rod's, going to give the new guy a bit of space, but will come back on the board. And I think I kind of had the feeling that Rod might have done this a little while ago, but I know there were a couple of stumbling blocks with Navitas. There were some changes, in some of the universities they were dealing with, and they lost some business, and they had some real challenges globally where, you've got all sorts of visa issues and you've got, currency issues and stuff. And I think he held on to the reins long enough till he felt that there was some more comfort, and then investors would take comfort. But yeah, what a successful entrepreneur. Can't remember the year, whether it was 2013, he won the EY Entrepreneur of the Year Award for Australia and went and represented Australia in Monte Carlo. Extraordinary story, and I reckon he would have been in for a chance. It's a very successful and global business with a couple of other huge players out there, like Kaplan and things like that kind of, a well-known global name. So credit to him. And if I can say this as I usually do, run out of WA. Gee, not mining. How about that? People don't believe it, do they?
And when you mentioned the EY Award, he's in very good company there. Yeah. There's been a handful of Western Australians that have won the national award. John Rothwell from Austal is one. Michael Malone from iiNet is another. So
yeah, note that iiNet connection there with David Buckingham as well. Yes. Mark, Ferrell Brewing is one of the earliest players in the local independent beer industry. 2002, I think, it kicked off. So we're talking about that kind of the modern era of boutique brewing in WA, because there's 30 or 40 of them. It's subject to a takeover. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Brendan Varis set up and has continued to own and run the business up until now. He'd taken on some debt to invest in the business, to bring in some new equipment and upgrade what they had. And then he went out seeking an equity partner to try and bring down that debt. Anyway, those discussions evolved rapidly, and he's now done a deal with Coca-Cola Amatil, so the distributor of Coke and lots of other drinks. And that's a business that is building pretty much from scratch a beer business.
Yeah, right.
They distribute some international beers. They've bought an East Coast boutique brewery and now agreed to buy Ferrell. Mm. So on the one hand, it's no longer independently owned, but Brendan assures us that he will continue to run the business. And the fact that Coca-Cola Amatil is new to the brewing business, he feels as though that they've got the right mindset, that they will allow him to continue sort of running and operating as he has. So hopefully that's the case. They've won many awards over the years, and hopefully with a strong shareholder, they'll go on to better things.
Yeah, well, I quite like some of their beers, and I presume there'll be an expansion there if they're going to kind of meet. I mean, Coca-Cola Amatil is, you know, a huge wholesaler in effect across, you know, so many, you know, huge part of retail. You know, that's interesting, that history of boutique brewing in WA. You know, really, a lot of what we see nationally now was kicked off here back in the 80s with Phil Sexton, Howard Cairns, those guys, with Matilda Bay Brewing, which, you know, Redback beer, people all remember that. Heady days of the late 80s.
And worth reminding people that that was really a big shake-up in the market.
Yeah.
Back in the days when you bought Swan Lager.
Yeah, well...
Or a new export, you know, you and that's about it.
You and I remember it. You know, when Foster's turned up in WA, that was an extraordinary event. But they went on to be sold. Matilda Bay was sold to CUB. And then, you know, some of those brands still exist. And then some of the guys from there went on, set up, got into the wine business, Devil's Lair, etc., and then came back into brewing, Little Creatures, another very successful boutique brewing company that went on to be national. You know, crikey, there's not too many events that I go to where I don't get Rogers the beer put in my hand at some point. And I think they sold for $300 million, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Now, I'm not sure the Ferrell's at that scale because Little Creatures was big, but certainly some real success out of the local brewing sector. Now, Mark, there's a change of tack here. There's been a lot happening in the state's finances, lots of politics. Can you give us the headline issues there?
Yeah, so at the start of the week, the Productivity Commission out of Canberra released their long-awaited report on the distribution of GST. And you know, as we have known here in Western Australia for a long time, the system is broken. Hmm. It needs major change. And you know, that has, I guess, given added impetus to this calls for reform. And we've had people like Federal Treasurer Scott Morrison making some encouraging noises. Of course, this is very difficult politically because giving extra money to one state means money away from another. So a lot of water to run under that bridge, but you know, encouraging to see the debate progressing. At a state level, the gold royalty was killed off during the week. The gold mining industry, their campaign proved successful, and the Liberal Party fell into line with the other opposition parties and agreed to block that on the basis that you know, there was no mandate that Labor had to introduce the gold royalty. Now remains to be seen whether the proposed payroll tax increase for sort of medium to large employers gets through. My hunch is that it probably will, because it doesn't have the really sharp impact that the gold royalty increase was planned to have. And then around all that, you know, Bill Shorten, just like the federal Liberals, has been talking about doing something better for Western Australia. Well, he's come out and promised $700 million for Metronet. At the same time that Mike Nahan has come out and said, well, maybe we can't afford Metronet. Maybe that needs to be reviewed. So it's a very lively discussion, all against a backdrop where Western Australia still has a very poor financial position, running annual deficits, we've got growing debt, so things need to change.
And look, I am a little surprised that that Mike Nahan hasn't gone that step further and said, well, if they're prepared to break a promise on a gold tax, why don't they break a promise on selling Western Power or selling Fremantle Ports, which are really big possible asset sales that would really make a difference to the state debt, where the gold tax was going to make almost no difference really by comparison. So, you know, I'm sure he's starting to work it that way, and I'm sure if they'd broken that promise, he would have backed them. Now, Mark, US-owned Tronox has gained state government backing for the development of two mineral sands mines north of Perth. Tell us about this $220 million project.
Yeah, look, some more good news for the mining industry. and you know, adds to a long list of mining projects either underway or planned for Western Australia. So look, Tronox, hardly a household name, but they're listed on the New York Stock Exchange. They've got a very substantial operation here in WA. They've got an existing mines up near Eneabba and a titanium dioxide plant down at Kwinana. That's sort of an ingredient that's used in lots of manufacturing processes. But yeah, they've got 600-odd people here in Western Australia. They've actually just agreed globally to take over the operations of another low-profile business called Crystal, which is in the same field. They've got about 200 to 300 people here in Western Australia. They've got operations down at Kemerton. So, you know, low profile, but very significant. $220 million, not to be sneezed at, and about 110 jobs coming out of that construction phase. So, good news.
Biggest Exporters is our feature this week. Matt McKenzie did that special report. Welcome, Matt. What did you find?
Thanks, Mark. So, we rank this by operators. If you operate a mine, even if you've only got a 50% equity share, for example, we'll count it as 100%. And among the top 10 biggest export operators, there was $106 billion of revenue in their most recent reporting periods. That was led, of course, by Rio and BHP. Rio was $24.9 billion, that was up by a billion. BHP was about $23 billion, that was up by a bit more, that was up by $5 billion, but that was because they report on a different time frame and prices changed, basically. Woodside is in third place at just more than $15 billion. They do, obviously, the Northwest Shelf and Pluto. The other interesting thing, Mark, is there's a couple of new entrants on the list. As listeners would know, Chevron and Roy Hill have started up operations recently. We've taken a very close look at Roy Hill, and we're estimating their revenue is going to be about $3 billion in the past financial year, as opposed to around $300 million in their first few months of operation in the previous financial year. Chevron's coming in about $2.9
billion. Yeah, right.
Okay, and so we'd expect the Chevron number to grow
dramatically
as production from Gorgon ramps up, and they've just started production from Wheatstone.
Yeah, so that should grow significantly in coming years.
Okay, and you mentioned, Matt, that we look at this in terms of the operators. One thing I've found fascinating is that we've also carved up the numbers by looking at some of the equity holders in these big projects. And the name that really stands out is Mitsui, the Japanese trading group. They've got interests in LNG, iron ore, grain, salt, wood chips. And I think we've estimated their sort of equity share of exports is about $4 billion in previous years.
So that's right.
They're a huge investor in this state, but they just don't operate anything or anything major.
Yeah, right.
So we don't really see their name a lot.
That's right.
Quiet achievers.
Yeah.
Right. And lithium, right? That's a big thing happening out there.
Yeah, we've got quite a bit of focus on lithium in this edition. It's not quite there yet, but it's going to be there by the end of the decade. We're estimating probably about $5 billion of annual export revenue from lithium producers. A lot of that's coming from the Tianqi plant, which is being built in Kwinana. They're building the first stage right now. They're looking for, well, they've just got development assessment panel approval for a second stage. By the end of the year, they'll probably have approved a second stage by their board. So that'll be producing 48,000 tons of lithium hydroxide. And that's about $1 billion, Mark.
Right.
They have their finger in the pie at Greenbushes mine, which is the producer of about a third of the world's hard rock lithium. They're going to double capacity down there too. That's going to be about 1.3 million tons per annum, and that should be about $1 billion as well of revenue for the state. A couple of other names out there, Altura Mining, they're building a mine at the moment. They're looking at doing an expansion plan there too. They could be doing up to 800,000 tons a year. Pilbara Minerals as well, also building too.
All right, so that's it, some of that scale is a long way out in the future yet before we get to that level, right?
Probably by the end of the decade, yeah.
Yeah, right. Still a significant contributor to the economy that basically didn't exist.
Well, that's right. A year or two ago, if you mentioned lithium, people wouldn't know what you're talking about.
No.
Now,
so they knew it was kind of in their, they knew it was in a battery that they recharged or whatever. That was about it, right? Yeah. All right. Well, fantastic. Thanks, Matt. How many surgeons, medical researchers, or people like that have done a reverse takeover? I'm looking forward to interviewing Fiona Wood on stage next month about the highs and lows of her taking technology to the market. What about creating a foundation? How challenging is that to start and operate? Why not come along to our breakfast on November 28 and hear a different take on a career of our former Australian of the Year? Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Mark My Words with Mark Pownall and Mark Beyer from Business News. For more information, please go to businessnews.com.au/podcasts. And to receive these regularly, search for Business News WA in iTunes or SoundCloud.